Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, back in the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We've recapped for the first half of the show what happened this past weekend. Didn't really get into, and maybe we can just do a quick now, the fact that RJ Adams, who's a offensive guard from Virginia, made a little SEC swing, showed up on everybody's Twitter feed in LSU apparel with an LSU offer, and struck a little fear, given that there have been two decommitments on the offensive line already. Aaron Parks, by the way, visited Pitt over the weekend. And in 2021, Dante Thornton, the wide receiver who, once again, Penn State in early on a really talented kid, now showed up at Tennessee's, on Tennessee's campus and looks to be, not that you would expect anything else when you have a commitment that's nearly 2 years out, but just a couple new things to watch. But really, I think in the 2020 class over the past, 4 to 6 weeks there's been so much turnover. Like, I can't remember, Greg, a class where there's been so much turnover in such a short amount of time at Penn State. I know others have gone through it. How many you looked at? Miami has 11. How many decommitments? 11.
Yeah.
So other programs are going through it, and I suppose that this might be more the norm moving forward, and you're starting to see in year two of the new recruiting calendar maybe how things are going to shake out. But for Penn State, they've lost some, they've gained some, and so we're just going to take a look at the 2020 class as a whole. But can you just speak, Greg, to the upheaval and that kind of feeling? And is this something that's going to be the feeling for most programs every recruiting cycle moving forward, or is there something more tangible to, I don't know whether there's just overlying, just a general feeling of doubt in Penn State's program, like a show me kind of situation for Penn State?
I mean, I think that's certainly part of it. Here's what I think is going to frustrate a lot of people. And it's, so I was just looking at social media before we got on here this morning, and Josh Moat in the corner, who decommitted from Penn State, 2 weeks ago now?
Yep.
Has now said he's going to announce his new decision July 2nd. The question I have is, how did, you know, he said that he committed too soon, he didn't get to visit everything and see all that he wanted to. Well, how did he accomplish all that in 2 weeks? I don't understand. So I think you get a lot of frustration around that because, they're kids at the end of the day. They're 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and sometimes they do things on a whim. Sometimes they do things because it feels like it's cool to do or something along those lines. So, you know, I just think that for the future of recruiting, it's going to be a messy bag all the time. And that's because kids are going to commit and then decide they didn't want to commit to a school and then decommit. They're going to want to go look around. They're going to see their friends doing stuff and going on visits, and they're going to feel left out. So they're going to decommit to go do those things, or they're going to do that while they're committed and upset the staff. So, I mean, this isn't going away. It's probably going to get worse as time goes on.
And which brings another point that's worth addressing here, that James Franklin has been pretty clear over the years that when a kid is ready to commit, his position is to almost try and talk them out of it and relay at that point in time, like, this is what we think a commitment means. It means that you're not exploring other options. It's a marriage or a relationship or however he puts it. It just strikes me sometimes it's just not a realistic venture. But I think what, you know, the idea there is we want to take commitments from kids who are all in, who want to be here, who know they want to be here, who aren't going to be wishy-washy about it. And I think it's idealistic. I see where Penn State's coming from on that. But, you know, we've had a bunch of examples where there's going to be a fear of missing out, you know, and there's it doesn't even matter if you commit early or not, as you got teammates and stuff going to all these other campuses,
right?
And you're just supposed to sit at home while everybody else is kind of soaking in these new experiences. I don't know whether that's something that Penn State needs to go back to the drawing board on. I don't know whether it's just the new era of recruiting But you know, the fact of the matter is you're just never going to be 100% keeping committed kids from going to see other places.
Right. Yeah. I mean, kids are going to want to go with their friends, or they're going to want to go with their teammates, or they're going to want to go and, you know, they're going to go to the opening, and they're going to be with kids from all over the country who might say, hey, you visit so-and-so school and you're going to experience such and such a thing. And kids might be like, oh, that sounds cool. Let me call up that coaching staff, because by the way, they offered me and they wanted me before I committed to Penn State. Maybe they'll still let me come on that visit, and maybe I'll see something that'll make me rethink my choice. So that's why Penn State tries to, talk kids out of committing if they haven't taken all the visits they want to take yet, because I think it can get really frustrating, obviously for fans, but for the coaching staff too, to see a guy all over Twitter posting stuff from other campuses, because your commitments are supposed to be your biggest recruiters, right? I mean, the guys that are coming to play for you are supposed to be the ones that help you build the rest of your class. So if those guys are visiting other campuses, what kind of vibe does that send off about where they are with your program?
Yeah, and you know, I just think into social media probably plays a part in this, and it feeds into the fear of missing out, the FOMO, as some might call it. So it's just a tough deal right now. But I think all in all, you know, you look at Penn State's class so far, it's still a top 20 class. It's not going to be, I think you can probably say it's not going to have the same amount of upside as the 2018 and the 2019 classes had. And I think that is what cuts to people right now, is that as you're going through 2018 and you're going through especially 2019, and you know that Penn State's typical recruiting footprint isn't as heavy on high-end talent as it sometimes is, a lot of people are looking to 2020 as the year where it's going to be Franklin's swan song recruiting class. It's going to be his best ever. There's going to be multiple five stars. You're going to go from, you know, being in that top 12 to top 15 recruiting class range to being in that elite top 3 or 5 recruiting class range. And to see that not come to fruition, I think is part of the overlying sense of disappointment in this class anyway. But then you look at the class as a whole, there's 12 commitments on board now. The top commit, according to the 24/7 composite, is Curtis Jacobs, who's a really good player, a linebacker from Maryland.
He was good at Penn State's camp.
Well, I saw if you haven't seen him dropping into coverage and running with Micah Parsons and making a play on the ball, like that's good stuff. So I think he's proven he could really honestly be a guy who moves up into that top 100. But as things are right now, and looking at Penn State's target board, there's a decent chance here, Greg, not only that Penn State doesn't get a five star, that looks like, unless there's a big shift moving forward, that looks like it's probably out of their hands now, but to not have a top 100 player in the class. It's hard to have a great class without one player you could consider great. And there's probably 300 players or so in the country who have 4-star ratings, so Penn State will get its share of those. But to not have an elite talent as the rankings go is something that is going to – it really jumps out to me about this class.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's almost breathtaking a little bit. I mean, Penn State's had so many top 5 players the last couple of years. And, you know, I think there is a question. Somebody had posted at Penn State camp over the weekend, and I thought it was a good question. You know, did the number of highly rated guys in the Northeast and in the Mid-Atlantic raise expectations for this class to a point that was unrealistic? I think, yes, that could be true. But at the same time, you can't lose Julian Fleming to Ohio State. You know, you lose Brian Brisee to Clemson. You lose a number of other guys to schools all over the country in this region. You lose two of your best players to decommitments. You lose Derek Wingo, who was one of your top-rated players, to Florida. And you pick up some 3-stars and some junior college guys who didn't have offers from anybody else. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, this was supposed to be, I think you said a minute ago, this was supposed to be the class that jumped Penn State up to the next level, and it just hasn't worked out that way. Now, is it an unmitigated disaster, as some would have you believe? I don't know about that. But the fact they don't have a 5-star commit is, you know, not what this class was supposed to be about. The fact that they probably won't have a top 100 player is not what this class was supposed to be about. So, you know, you put all those pieces together, and I definitely think that it goes back to what we talked about last week, which is that winning will cure all. Winning will help Penn State get to a point where they can, consistently land a lot of these guys. But when you're 9-4, 8-4, and you're losing the Citrus Bowl to Kentucky in unimpressive fashion, I mean, that hurts you on the recruiting trail. And you only have so many Saturdays in the fall to make your whole program hum as a whole for 12 months of the year. And when you let opportunities slip away, like Penn State has, you know, you're going to have opportunities on the recruiting trail get away from you too.
Well, I think that's exactly right. The 2020 class and where Penn State's program, you know, there's two different parts of it. One is Penn State's growth as a program. You see them go through 2016, 2017. You know, the expectation was, you know, a jump. Hopefully right around now into that elite conversation where Penn State, instead of building on 2017, took a little bit of a step back in 2018. And now there are just questions about where the team is going, where the offense is going, whether the best man for the job is calling the plays on the offense, the wide receiver coach situation that Julian Fleming broke down for us. I think there are just some things that just need to be cleared up. And it's not to say that Penn State can't do it. And I think with that in mind, you know, if Jared Parker really gets the job done and these wide receivers are humming and Sean Clifford is playing well and the line's good, you know, a lot of them, you know, if they can put up some points and silence some of these things, there could very well be a strong push to December where they start to get more and more blue chip type guys and finish strong in the second half of the cycle.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, it's not that recruiting comes down to one game or even one season so much. I think it's just where Penn State's program is with this 2020 class, where they just have to answer some questions.
Yeah. And I think kids want to see it on the field. You know, Penn State can answer questions until they're blue in the face, but the questions are this: can you get me to the NFL? Yes. But that's not the end all be all. If it was, Josh Moten wouldn't decommit. If it was, you know, I mean, Penn State, the same with Aaron Parks. I mean, Penn State's put guys in the NFL. Are all of them Miles Sanders or Saquon Barkley? No. But do they have a lot of productive guys playing at the pro level? Yes. But that's only a part of the equation. Kids want to get to the next level, but they also want to be able to win when they get to college. And Penn State has won some big games and has had some incredible moments over the last few years. But fairly or unfairly, other coaches are going to look at it and say, there's a lot of questions with them, starting with who the heck's going to be their quarterback and what is that guy going to be able to do. So that's part of this whole deal, but 11 commits right now. We'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and I think winning big games is another big piece of the puzzle. So we'll touch on some more of this, I'm sure. Ask Greg is coming up right after this break.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.